Want to keep your personal number private but still stay connected? With Line 2, you can get a second phone line right on your device with a super simple app and no need for another phone. Whether it's for online shopping, dating, or shielding your main number from spam, Line 2 is an easy way to manage it all. Ready for peace of mind without breaking the bank? Call, text, block, and more for only $9.99. Get started with line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in any app store today. Line 2, your second line simplified.
You are now listening to the Calcio Corner podcast with your host, Raffaele.
What's good? This is indeed the Calcio Corner podcast, where we cover all corners of Italian football and more. My name is Raffaele. I thank you for taking the time to listen to this, the 16th episode of the Calcio Corner podcast. Please subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, and Audioboom. You can follow my personal Twitter account. It is at Italiano Calcio. You can also follow the Twitter account for this podcast. It is at the Calcio Corner. So we will start off the 16th episode of the podcast by talking about the action from round two in Serie A. We saw a few great comebacks, comeback victories by Inter and Benevento. And I want to start with that Inter-Fiorentina game. The Nerazzurri on Saturday, they fought back to win the game 4-3. They fell behind a few times. They fell behind 1-0. Then they ended up taking a 2-1 lead, but once again conceded the lead to fall behind 3-2. And then with less than 5 minutes left, it was Lukaku to equalize. And then just a few minutes later, it was D'Ambrosio who ended up winning it for Inter. I know it was only Inter's first game because their first round game was postponed, but it was a massive victory against a Fiorentina side that they're proving themselves to be a good and solid team and not an easy beat. So it was a nice comeback victory for the Nerazzurri. In my opinion, this is the type of comeback win that, you know, champions are able to make. You know, a team that doesn't have their eye on the prize, that, you know, maybe doesn't believe in themselves or has some self-doubt, they usually would have probably folded with about 2 minutes left in the game, down on a goal. You know, they might have mentally checked out. But again, Inter didn't. They fought back because, again, they have that winning mentality, even though they have not won a trophy in a while, and they haven't won one with Conte last season. But they do have that winner's mentality. They believe in themselves, and they never count themselves out. And that is certainly a massive mentality to have if you're trying to win the Scudetto this season. And that all starts with Antonio Conte. He never, you know, considers anything complete until it is done, until that final whistle blows. So, you know, kudos for Inter winning this game. A big reason for their comeback win was, you know, and is their depth. And that's going to be massive this season as well. It's something that they lacked a bit last season. They didn't have the same type of depth on their bench that they have this season. You know, when you consider some of the guys that Conte brought on in the second half, it was Hakimi, Vidal, Alexis Sanchez. Those were among the five substitutes, and they all played a pivotal role in Inter's comeback. We got a little taste, you know, just how dangerous this Inter side could be. And again, just how much depth they have and their ability to flip a game in a matter of minutes. Hakimi, he didn't disappoint making his Inter debut as a second half substitute. Came on in the 65th minute. You know, I've been high on the Hakimi signing since day one. And again, he played a pretty good game. There was this funny moment when he was kind of flying down the right side of the field. And we all know how fast Hakimi is. And Alexis Sanchez totally missed a golden chance to get him the ball in a total amount of space that he had. You know, Hakimi almost, it was like he moved too fast for Alexis Sanchez to even process what was happening. So yeah, that may be something that happens quite a few times this season, because Hakimi's pace will, you know, it'll kill the opposition. It's certainly a weapon that he has. For Fiorentina, look, they can't help but be disappointed that they didn't come away with at least 1 point. They should be upset that they didn't get all 3 points, considering, again, they were up 3-2 in the 87th minute. All they had to do was close out this game, and to walk away with no points, you know, is certainly a disappointment. But this side will be in games thanks to, you know, players like Chiesa if he stays. He put in another great performance for La Viola. Castrovilli, you know, he certainly did well. He scored a goal as well. Franck Ribéry, he looks like, you know, he's gets better with age, like wine. You know, he's been playing outstanding. And as I mentioned, Chiesa, he's looked outstanding in these first two games. And while he is still at Fiorentina, there is still some time left in the transfer market. I'll talk about it a little bit later. But his good play, it's going to catch that eye of those top Italian clubs to potentially make a big offer for him. Defensively, this Fiorentina side, you know, they were woeful to concede these goals. Ceccarini starting wasn't pretty for them. You could totally understand why Rocco Commisso doesn't want to sell Nikola Milinkovic. despite, you know, interest from Inter, despite interest from Milan, you know, he's their best defender. Fiorentina, they can't afford to lose him. You know, defensively, they're going to struggle at times. So you can't give away Milinkovic, who is your best defender. It would just get worse. So, you know, you fully expect Comiso to keep a hold of the Serbian defender because they need him. So I understand why he doesn't want to sell him. Moving on, the other team that I mentioned who made a nice comeback this weekend was Benevento, the side that was recently promoted from Serie B up to Serie A. Benevento were making just their first appearance back in Serie A because their game, just like Inter last week, was postponed. Actually, it's Inter versus Benevento from round one that got postponed. Benevento fell behind 2-0 to Sampdoria within the opening 20 minutes. And, you know, almost what I said about, like, Inter, Benevento kind of could have just folded and kind of just conceded this game after just 20 minutes, but they did not. They kept fighting. Pippo Inzaghi has his team believing in themselves. And it was, you know, their captain, Luca Caldirola, who scored two goals, and Gaetano Letizia, who scored the game winner. And it was an absolute beauty of a goal. And in my opinion, an early candidate for goal of the year in Serie A. But just an amazing comeback for Pippo Inzaghi's team. If you recall in the previous episode, I said that this was more than a winnable game for Benevento. I felt like they could beat the Sampdoria side. And they proved me correct, which I was very happy. This Benevento side will be better than I think most people are willing to give them credit for. People sometimes just think a side up from Serie B, they don't know as much about it, but this team has some talent. They have weapons on offense and they have the ability to score goals, even though, you know, all their goals came from defenders, ironically enough, but they do have talent up front. They are a confident side and it showed in this game. So nice start to the season for Benevento, especially, you know, when you consider they do have to play Inter on Wednesday to make up that round one game postponed that I mentioned. You kind of expect that Benevento will lose that game against Inter, but of course anything could happen. So beating Sampdoria was a big win, and, you know, coming back against them, they avoid potentially would have started the season with two losses and 0 points. So big comeback for them. This weekend, we also got a first look at Atalanta, and they picked up right where they left off last season. Atalanta defeated Torino 4-2. Andrea Belotti did all he could for Torino. He scored both of their goals. I've said it before, and I will continue to say it. Belotti has totally outgrown Torino. He needs to move on to a bigger club. At this point, I feel like he's almost just wasting his career at this club. Torino now with two straight losses to start the season under Marco Giampaolo, so not a pretty start for them. As always, for Atalanta, Papu Gomez put in a great performance. He scored a goal. He had two assists. And look, you know, this Atalanta team, they're going to score 3 to 4 goals in more games than not. They're just that good offensively. And, you know, it's not easy for the opposition to try to match that type of goal scoring. You know, it's not easy to ask yourself to score 3 to 4 goals to match Atalanta. So that's what makes this side so dangerous. I picked Atalanta preseason to finish top four, as did many. And this performance didn't lead you to fall off that opinion at all. So, you know, they certainly look like locks to finish top four if they're able to continue this type of play. Napoli, they trashed Genoa 6-0. Just never a competitive game. The only negative to come out of this game for Napoli was that Lorenzo Insigne had to leave in the first half with a hamstring injury, and it did look pretty bad. It's expected that he'll miss a few weeks, including the big game against Juve this upcoming weekend, so that's a tough blow for Napoli. But other than that, they look flawless. Osimhen has really played well, and this was his first start. Obviously, he played great as a substitute against Parma last week. And you know, boy, he looks like the real deal. He looks like everything as advertised and perhaps better. Seems like when he's on that field, that Napoli threat and Napoli attack just becomes that much more potent. And the defense has no idea what to do. Although, you know, I would say, you know, let's see Napoli. Let's see Osimhen play against better defenses. Again, Parma was their round one opponent. Not exactly a world beater defensively. Same thing with Genoa this past weekend. But so far, so good for Napoli and Osimhen. For me, they have been the best team in Serie A so far out the gate. They've scored 8 goals. They've conceded none, so you can't ask for much more than that. For me, you know, Chucky Lozano, he really stood out in this game. He scored 2 goals and put in another great performance. You know, it's really nice to see Lozano flourishing and getting his chance in Napoli. I never really understood the rumors this past summer that they could potentially sell him. They spent so much money on him last summer. They really never utilized them correctly last season, never got consistent playing time. So I never understood why you would give up on him so quickly, especially when you consider, again, how much money you invested in him and that likely his value decreased. So you could have potentially sold him for less money than you spent on him. Why not give him a chance? And that's what Gattuso's doing this season. And so far through 2 games, he's been lighting it up and it's been great. Again, even with Insigne coming off, you still had Mertens, you still had Lozano, you still had Osimhen. So dangerous attack. He actually started all 4 of those guys And it's unfortunate that Insigne got injured because I really wanted to see how all four of them would play together for the, you know, most of that game. But even without Insigne, they looked outstanding. Napoli, they could challenge Atalanta this season for the top goal-scoring team in Serie A. I think it'll be a fun battle between those two teams to see who finishes as Serie A's top goal-scoring team. Milan beat Crotone 2-0. They're now 2-0 on the season with 6 points. Not to take anything away from Milan, but obviously this was a game that they needed to beat, needed to win. They needed to beat Crotone. Sandro Tonali and Brahim Diaz both made their first starts for the Rossoneri and both put in good performances. Diaz actually scored a goal for Milan. Kessie scored the other one on a penalty. You know, Frank Kessie, even towards the end of last season, he started to establish himself as a key piece for the Rossoneri. If you remember, similar almost to like Lozano, what I just mentioned, there was a time where it seemed like Milan were going to sell Kessie, but they've stuck with him and it's paying off dividends. You know, I just don't get, again, why some of these clubs make these significant investments in players and then they're just willing to give up on them so quickly. You know, it's not so easy to just join a new team. Perhaps if you're someone who comes from another country like Lozano, I know Kessie was playing in Serie A with Atalanta when he joined Milan, but it's not that easy to just arrive at a new club and, you know, hit the ground running. There are instances where that does happen, but it's not always the case. Usually it's not the case. So you got to give players time, especially young players. So I'm glad to see that Milan have stuck with Kessie. And again, it's paying off. Milan were able to win without Zlatan. He missed the game due to COVID-19. I know, you know, people are high on this Milan side and they think they could challenge for a top four. But there's also been that narrative that, you know, they need Zlatan to win. You know, outside of Zlatan, they're not that special of a team, perhaps. But for them to get this win, even though it was Crotone without Zlatan, I think that gives this young team a lot of confidence. A negative that did come out of this game is Ante Rebic. He hurt his arm, but test results show no broken bone, which is good news, but he is expected to miss a few weeks. There's hope that they could get him back for the Milan Derby in October. You know, with Zlatan dealing with COVID-19, Rebic being hurt, this will certainly thrust Rafael Leao into a more prominent role in their attack. And let's see if the, you know, the young Portuguese forward could step up and, you know, fill the void that they need him to do in attack. One of the other big marquee games from round two was Roma versus Juve. These two sides ended up drawing 2-2. You know, much better and much more dangerous looking Roma side compared to last week against Verona. And the main reason why was, you know, they had Dzeko obviously in the starting lineup. They didn't play him against Verona last week because there was the potential pending sale to Juve, and it very well could have been, you know, Dzeko lining up for Juve this game against Roma. But I think Giallorossi fans were happy to see him starting for them, and he certainly, his presence, a much big difference for this Roma side. They were much more threatening going forward. Jordan Veretout, he scored both goals for Roma. He played really well. They scored that beautiful counterattack goal where Juve just looked, you know, helpless defensively. For Juventus, it was a lackluster debut for Alvaro Morata, or I should say second debut with the club. Pirlo, he played Kulusevski a bit more wide as a wingback, and by doing so, he was kind of asking him to do a little bit more defensively, something he's not as accustomed to, and he kind of took away Kulusevski being allowed to do some of the things he does well offensively. Certainly, Kulusevski could grow into this role, but it didn't work out clearly for this first, you know, performance in that role. You know, he played up front last week right next to Cristiano Ronaldo, and we really got to see what makes him so special. I'm not saying he played poorly against Roma by any means, but it wasn't his natural position. He was being asked to do a few things he's not accustomed to, and it definitely showed a bit. But thank God for, you know, Juve, they had Cristiano Ronaldo. This is what makes him so special, that, you know, he's kind of able at times to just put a team on his back and carry them, and he scored both goals, and they were fortunate that being down a man, Rabiot got a red card, so they were fortunate to come away with 1 point against Roma, but much better performance for Roma compared to last week. For Juve, I think there's a little bit of disappointment. We knew that this was going to be a tougher test for Juve, for Pirlo, and I do feel like Pirlo's inexperience showed a little bit in this game. This upcoming weekend, they face Napoli, and as I said, a very dangerous Napoli side, with or without Insigne. And, you know, if they play like they did against Roma, there's no way I see Juve beating Napoli, so certainly Pirlo and his side have some work to do this week in training. There was something interesting that Paolo Fonseca, Roma's coach, did. He only ended up using 2 of his 5 substitutes, which was interesting to me. Again, Juve were down 10 men, so, you know, tired legs, down a man. I felt like if you brought on more, you know, weapons offensively, fresh legs, with those final 3 substitutes that he had at his disposal, you could have taken advantage of, a tired Juve, a Juve that was down a man, so it was an interesting decision by Fonseca not to use all his substitutions. Not sure why. Have to hear if he explains that at all, but interesting decision by him. Some other results: Sassuolo beat Spezia 4-1. Francesco Caputo put in a great performance for Sassuolo. He's looking to build on his strong season from last year. Lazio also made their debut this season. They defeated Cagliari 2-0. Ciro Immobile, he scored a goal, so he's perhaps looking to break his record of 36 goals. We'll see what total he finishes this season. All right, so something else I just wanted to talk about was Federico Chiesa's future at Fiorentina, as I mentioned earlier in the podcast. So it appears that after that Fiorentina-Inter game, Chiesa, he once again reiterated to the club that he wants to leave, and it sounds as though Rocco Commisso, he's willing to sell him, but only for the right price. Problem is, Commisso is limited to where he could sell Chiesa because Chiesa wants to stay in Italy. I'm not blaming Chiesa for that decision, but it certainly limits the market for Fiorentina. It takes away, you know, a lot of the big clubs in Europe who may be interested and could help drive up that price to get it to what Commisso wants it to be. You know, and it's potentially unlikely that one of the bigger clubs in Italy, Juve, Milan, Inter, who most likely are being mentioned with Chiesa, that they're going to make that significant offer to Commisso for Chiesa within the next week, because that's when the transfer market closes in Italy, October 5th, which is just a week away from my time recording this. You know, Commisso says he's willing to sell Chiesa, but only for the right price. He's not just going to want to give him away. So one of these big clubs in Italy have to step up, or else it looks like Chiesa could end up staying at Fiorentina, which, again, he's performed really well. I'm sure Commisso would love to keep him, but I think at this point he kind of has reserved to the fact that Chiesa wants to leave. Let me cash in on him if I get the right offer. But again, he's not going to give him away. I'm sure that Chiesa was a bit deflated after that tough loss to Inter. He got subbed off in the second half, and at that time, Fiorentina were winning. And then, you know, just sitting there on that bench and seeing his team give away the game, it probably, you know, kind of just reconfirmed that desire to leave the club and that those thoughts that this isn't where the right club for him, this isn't where he's going to be able to grow and compete. And is Chiesa right? Yes. In the immediate future, Fiorentina aren't going to be able to compete for titles. But I do think they are building something special in Florence. And I do believe Commisso has the right intentions to build a club. They're going to look to certainly build around guys like Castrovilli, Christian Kouame in attack. They would love to build around Chiesa if he does stay. But, you know, they have a nice, strong young nucleus to build around. It could be a competitive side down the road. But it appears that Chiesa, you know, he's not willing to be patient and wait out this process. He has played extremely well in these first two games, and it certainly has to have caught attention, the attention of a Juve, an Inter, and a Milan. It's just a matter of one of these clubs stepping up and making Commisso the right offer. If he joined Juve, which appears to be his preferred destination, I just don't know if it's the right move for him. You know, when you consider they already have Ronaldo, Kulusevski, Dybala, they just brought in Morata. I don't see Chiesa going there and being a consistent starter, so I'm not sure for him personally if he'd be happy playing in and out of that lineup, not consistently starting. At Milan, another club that's been heavily linked to him, he could easily be a starter for Pioli on the wings. He would certainly increase Milan's chances of finishing in the top four, which again is their aspirations this season. You know, the Rossoneri also have a nice young nucleus of talent that they're building, so that would be a nice piece to add to it. Personally, if I had to see Chiesa leave Fiorentina, I'd rather see him join Milan, again, because he'll get to play a lot more at Milan. It would help Milan become more competitive, and I just think for a city as a whole, it'd be great to see Milan at that competitive level again. Juve will already be there. They don't necessarily need him. We have Inter competitive, Napoli are competitive, Lazio, Atalanta, Roma are getting better, so, you know, if Milan could add him, it would certainly do great for Serie A. But, you know, my first choice personally would be to see him stay at Fiorentina, help that team grow, help that club grow, and, you know, maybe get them into that echelon of those other seven teams. So we'll see. So that will do it for the 16th episode of the Calcio Corner podcast. I hope you have enjoyed it. Once again, please subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, and Audioboom. Feel free to leave a rating and comment. That would be greatly appreciated to help us grow. Thank you to all those who have subscribed and listened, and a special thank you to my patrons who help to support this podcast. Link to my Patreon site is in my Twitter bio, and until next time, guys, ciao.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Calcio Corner podcast with your host, Raffaele. If you've enjoyed this episode, please rate, review, and subscribe on your preferred podcast listening platform. We really appreciate that effort. Until next time.
Ugh, spam calls. Sound familiar? Introducing Line 2. Get a second phone number right on your existing phone. Imagine. Discounts, appointments, online forms. Handle it all without giving out your personal number. It's like having a secret weapon against spam. And when those unwanted calls sneak through, boom, blocked. No more interruptions, no more stress. Stay connected, stay protected. Keep your main number safe and out of harm's way. Ready to take back your phone? Visit line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in the App Store today.